Can I select a color for my PCB? That can be black or red or different kind of colors. You can choose one. There's also the possibility to get some flexible sheets to the you can just do experiment what you want. If you want to something, maybe use a flexible thing, and you must be careful with which parts you use so you don't bend a chip or something like that, but there are many possibilities. I've ordered my PCBs, so where do I get my parts from? That's a step that happens twice. Once when I design the PCB, just to see if I can actually get these parts, but then I have to actually order them. There are online shops, I listed some here. There are many shops, there are Germans, internationals. Reichelt is a German one, Arrow or Mauser are international. You can get your parts there, and you have to look where you order them. You can just choose buy your parts as a seller of your choice. You can buy them where you want to. It's doesn't matter, parts are the same if they have the same dimensions at the same values. Important, always buy more parts than you need. Something will break. All the PCBs I've shown you are either without parts or broken, because all the ones that did work, they are built into some devices. If you do it for some time, you will have many broken PCBs. And it's always funny to see where errors happen. Something can go wrong when soldering. More about that soon. It could be that a part is defective or something, a trace is not there on the PCB. Things will happen. Don't worry too much. Just order more than you need and you'll be fine. So now I've ordered all my things and I have some time for a mate or coffee or tea or something. Now it will take, depending on where you ordered, take a week or maybe two or three or four until everything is there, if you have all the parts, until everything is there, so that you can start to build. And that is important. Wait until all the parts are there. It's not useful to solder a half-done part. So what to solder now? You can start soldering now. Soldering is, if you haven't done it too much, or if you're just starting again with a long part, it's work. It's real work. It's tiring. It takes time. And you should take your time. You should take a Saturday evening or the whole Saturday or a few hours on the afternoon and then do that. I had the luck last year that I could do that more or less professionally, and so I had much time for such projects, but it takes its time. If you have done your first two or three versions of your PCB, it will get faster. So print the schematics and the design. It's very practical, very important. Especially if you have access to a plotter to print it in A3 or A1, and put it up on the wall. That is really, really useful. Then you can draw into it like you have to take care of soldering set. That part or that part is in bag three. I sorted my parts in bags or in cases and wrote it onto the plan. That makes it far easier to work because the workflow is much faster. Everyone has to find its own way in its own time how to do it best for yourself. Then one of the basic thing is you start with the smallest and the passive parts. Those are usually the cheapest, and that's not so bad if they get too warm for a long time. Just solder them on and look, and then solder on the more expensive part at the end. The most expensive part at the end, so if you destroy the PCB during soldering, the expensive part aren't wasted. And then it's SMD, it's more of a design question, but it's important when soldering SMD parts, which I've done. My PCBs are parts that sit on one side of the PCB and that are very small. If you're experienced with that, you can do it. But a beginner who hasn't soldered SMD, he should probably not do that. He should probably use through-hole parts, they are called as though. And you can design a PCB with that. It will not be as small as a PCB with SMD parts, but it's easier to solder. But there are many different sizes of SMD parts. If you look at the lower side of a Raspberry, there are parts that are smaller than a millimeter. You usually do not want to solder those by hand. There are size guides, some guides you get on fairs. You can get them on fairs. It's like you can things where you can see the sizes and see how big it is. And if you do not know this, you can find someone in a hacker space how big you should choose your SMD part if you want to solder is. And otherwise, the size tables are normed. You can look online and then can look what you want, how many millimeters you want, so you can solder is. If you do not have equipment for soldering, which is especially for SMD part, you cannot use a 2 euro soldering iron, but you can should not be a problem that you can get cheap equipment, sometimes as kits that can like 20, 30 euros around that. You do not need the Vella soldering iron for 400 euros. You do not need that in the beginning. You will need Won't even need it if you do it for some time. You can just look that you get that one what you need. You can, of course, you can go into a hacker space. They usually have equipment, sometimes even the more expensive good equipment. You can just ask there if you can use that, or if someone can help you, or if you can use their equipment. Or if you can look if you get some support, there's no problem to just ask. If I'm done with soldering, then before I power it up or do anything, I look at the PCB. Are all connections good? Do they look good? That's especially important if you solder SMD, if you have parts like this here that has as of a length of 2 centimeters, 24 pins. They are half a millimeter apart from another, and you have to look with a magnifying lens that you have not actually shorted those pins. That's difficult when soldering, but you can do that. If you have done that, then you look where there are no unwanted connections. And then if you've done that, then you should, in places where you're not sure, you should test the connections electricals. Most multimeters have some kind of beep mode where you can just beep through the connections. It gives a signal or an optical signal if there's a connection. You should do this, especially for important connections like is plus and minus connected. You should really do that, and you should really take the time to do these tests. Then should look that all parts have good contact. It could be that with a cold soldering point that have some electrical contact but have bad electrical contact. That is a really high resistance in the soldering point, and then some integrated circuits won't work correctly. And then if you have all that and you say, okay, I'm sure that this will work, and then I have to admit I've written that down, but sometimes I just connected to the power, but it had more than once that it then went up in flame. So if you power it, there are two possibilities. It works, or it's a steam engine or a fog engine. Depending on which parts have been defective or destroyed. Now the easy thing, if it smokes, it's easy. You can see the part that smokes is one it's once broken. But if it just doesn't work correctly, then you have to find out which parts didn't correctly work. There's a story from 2 years ago. I spent like 2 months looking for an error on a finished PCB, and I couldn't find it. And then after 2 months, I found out that one part I got from my distributor was defective, and finding this error was very, very much work. But when I found it, and within 10 minutes, everything worked like I worked. Yeah, so it was simple, but it took 2 months that until I found this broken part, which I thought had been working. So another problem is a connection might be wrong. This has been the case with this PCB. You see, well, you probably won't see too much. There's a plug connector. There's a plug in, and that's this with white part. This was mirrored in the PCB, which meant I had to solder it on reverse. Those errors can happen, and those errors do happen, and well, you can't do much about that. That's something that just happens, and you shouldn't be sad about that. It happens. Then you can, as I said, a circuit consists of several parts. The first thing I can look is my voltage supply working, and do all parts get the correct voltages? Or the piece is a microcontroller draws, is the correct software on there, and so on. So you can test all these separate parts of the circuit separately. Sometimes it's even useful to just solder on parts of the circuit on the PCB, so you can see if does the rest work, even if the rest is done. It's also useful to order several PCBs because you need PCBs like to test this, or if you have an SMD, if it's always soldered on, you do not solder it off again to correct something, you just make a new one. To getting them off again, it's really hard. And yeah, if you found you replace the parts that were broken and see if it works. Or in the worst part, there's actually an error in the PCB. So in the PCB I showed with the wrong connector, I switched the data port of the data pins of the USB port, so it didn't work. There are some tricks to fix errors on a PCB, so you can probably cut some connections with a sharp knife and then do some thin wire to make new connections. That's good for debugging. You can do that. That looks something like that. You see, there are parts were bridged over. There's a bit of wire from one of the integrated circuits somewhere down to the other integrated circuits, and many wires are soldered on to measure some things. It looks like that, and you all see here the plug that's soldered on in reverse to how it actually should be. So yeah, it's PCB design is really fun. Yeah, sometimes you have some problems. Like it's fun. You have very trips and say so. Yeah, especially looking back, it's funny. So if you have everything done and everything is as it was, and you can just start from the beginning, I can correct all the errors I found in my schematics, draw it new, and then repeat and repeat and repeat. And then in the end, you have like four revisions of the same circuit, but at the end, you have something you have just to solder on, put on the program, and that works. And that's a really, really good feeling, but it takes long to get there. So it's what I say. When you're designing PCB, you shouldn't set if it don't work on the first time, as you can expect it won't do that. Just continue. Do not lose the fun. We do that for fun, not because we want to earn money. If you want to earn money with that, we have other possibilities. We do that for fun, and you shouldn't lose the fun if it doesn't work on the first times. Same thing with everything. Even if you are programming is the same, or if you write software for one of these PCBs, can happen that things don't work. For example, when developing this project, I switched from C on the ESP module to MicroPython because it's far easier to develop with MicroPython because there are many resources for MicroPythons and the several programming languages on controllers, but just as an aside. So now I have everything done, everything works. I have my four or five revisions, depending on how much it took. Well, yeah, congratulations. You've developed your first PCB that does even work. Yeah, of course, it sounds easier than it is. And it even doesn't sound that easy. I just skipped over many steps in this. It's much work. It took like 2 years until I had something that did really work after school. Yeah, but it's something differing. But it's not differing for you. I do that after school or work or uni. But yeah, it's fun and you shouldn't lose the fun. And if you stay with it, you will make it. That's it from me. What I wanted to do, I've just wanted to give an overview. And my idea was that we now speak about projects from you, or ideas, or questions, or suggestions. So, as I said, if there are any more questions after this talk, we can just write on Mastodon. And yeah, and I would. Yeah, are there any questions? If there are. Okay, Dayton, thanks for your talk. Many interesting things. There have been some questions yet. I think we just start with the first questions. There are ground planes, so you have very much grounded, or there are things like LVDS, like low voltage digital signaling, where you have a differential signal. So if there's an error on the trace, it will always will be removed by the differential signaling. And there are like things like those silver cages that are on an ESP module that you can use. But in many, you can could check if you use that, but many parts do no longer need this because they have gotten better. But that's something you have to look at when you're doing high frequency. The next question is in the same direction. How is it about layers? You mentioned several layers, one layer, two layer, 4, 18. Is there any best practices? Well, what I can say, real multi-layer PCBs you find in motherboards or something like that. That's unusual for smaller things because they're really expensive. There are certainly some norms, or because those multi-layer PCBs, the layout programs usually can do that in some way with multi-layer PCBs. That's not a problem. You just have to look that you develop this, and as I said, debugging this is really hard because you have so many layers. Then we had another question. You said routing is art. I think I got the quotation direct. Do you have examples for projects that are more artistically challenging? Well, art brings it quite a lot to the point. It's from Bleep Track. I cannot see if you can see that it's Pico Planet from Bleep Track. It's really beautiful. It's like procedurally generated art on a PCB. It's also semi-transparent. You probably can't see that too well, but that it's really more into the artistic direction. And if you're really doing so, like a Raspberry or something really big, it's also artistic, but it doesn't look good. It's just a technical art. In my opinion, it's a form of art, and you can really do really beautiful PCBs. There are examples. There are people who professionally do PCBs professionally, and their business card is a PCB with some circuit on it. They are cool things. We also have two links in the pad you can look at after the talk. There's another question or a remark from our listeners on the stream, the info that there's a Kitspace. Kitspace builds from a Git repository, one-click BOM orders. Does Kitspace say something to you? It's just a remark from one of our listeners. We can just show that in the patch. And that the information, I hope I pronounce it correctly, that you can do with 0805 resisted. It's easy to solder. With the 0603, it's more difficult. Well, my experience is I've soldered everything in 0603. It's a bit fuzzy. You can do that, but yeah, 0805 is easier. So 0603 and the other ones, the norms for SMD parts have these numbers, and 0603 is that what I usually use. There's another remark. There's no clean BGA flux. Is that something you can say something about? Okay, if you have other question, we've had all the questions from the pad. If you have more pad question, write them in the pad, and there are other channels as mentioned where you can ask more questions. Okay, let me do a final pass over the pad. We've answered all the questions that we had then. Thank you, Jay. Thank you from me too. I wish you much luck with your hopefully not smoke machines. Yeah, we'll see you again. Bye. A few announcements. Please take your waste to the outside and try to leave the room orderly. The next talk will be about the COVID-19 epidemics and how hackers react to it.